We normally have the actually we normally have the guests start the show, so if you'd like to, why don't you take it away?
Go ahead.
All right. Like it's Lars and Joe.
Yeah.
Lars and Joe. Okay, I've got it started.
Lars and Jeff. I'm just kidding.
Oh, dude, I was about you just tripped me up there. I was like, wait, did I just get it wrong? I thought you literally says Joe on the thing.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we got it. Okay. I'm thinking of an intro. You're putting me on the spot here.
Take your time.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first podcast. I'm joined today by Lars and Joe. I know I'm the best host of the first podcast. I'm glad to have these amazing guests with me today to talk about various topics. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Really just a huge fan of the show. I'm really honored that you would have us on your podcast, the first podcast. I really appreciate it. Been a long time coming.
Dude, I've been doing the first podcast. Oh my gosh. There is literally people know about the Pescator lore in this server. Oh my gosh. That's quite something. We can probably talk about that later, but I think okay. For now it's something that we need to work up towards. But that's quite an interesting saga. No, but in all seriousness, thank you guys for allowing me on the first podcast. It's not my podcast, actually, guys. I know, like, you guys all got baited. I sound a lot like
it's
them.
Not?
So it's easy to get confused. I'm really, really sorry, guys, but
what?
It's actually not my podcast.
Are you serious? What?
Yeah, I made a mistake, guys. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I apologize, guys. I didn't mean to.
I've really been hoodwinked. I don't know how to feel.
Well,
you've been fooled, guys.
Thank you for being here anyway. I'm Joe. I'm the co-host, and with me I have Lars, and that's it for today. That's our show. Thanks for tuning in. And
all right, thank you guys.
Join us next week.
JohnSwanYT on Twitter and YouTube, and go check him out.
Where can we find your, if they're interested in finding out more about you, John, do you have anything to plug
other than your butt?
Well, I have JohnSwan on OnlyFans. What else is there? Surely there's something else that's 100% legitimate that I definitely have.
Spend more time talking about your OnlyFans. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, this is what people want to know.
I honestly think it's probably the better thing to talk about. If you're going to talk about anything.
Do you really have one? Do you really have an OnlyFans?
No. No, I don't actually have an OnlyFans. No, I do, definitely. Guys, shush.
You don't, because your parents might be listening. But if you did, you could find that by probably just Googling, I'm assuming.
You see, now I've painted myself into a corner. I've made it sound like I actually do have an OnlyFans, but I legitimately don't have an OnlyFans.
Sure.
So I was just like, I was playing along with the joke, but I think it went too far.
No, we're on the same page. I know you don't really have one. I'm just
in the cake that is this episode. There's a lot of layers of irony already. I can't really sort any of it out.
Exactly. This is the problem. People might be thinking, "Oh, wait, does he actually have?" I can guarantee people actually searched it when I said I had.
Or there are people who have already turned off the podcast because, like, these jokesters aren't actually saying anything of consequence at all.
I think that's okay.
Great start to the show, guys.
Yeah.
Well done.
But I actually have a Diet Pepsi in my hands. I normally like to start off the episodes by opening up a Diet Pepsi, so we'll do that now. You hear that nice crisp sound?
That was very crisp.
Now, watch as I drink it.
They can't, because this is an audio podcast.
It's refreshing.
Are you sponsored?
Oh,
no.
Speaking of which, Diet Pepsi is
Joe.
No, they're not
the
our sponsor.
Up.
They're not our sponsor.
Okay.
That would have been a deal. That would have been a cool.
Yeah.
Drink
By
Diet
the way,
Pepsi
yeah.
today.
Yeah, Pepsi Cola. If you want to sponsor us with Diet Pepsi, I will shill that until the day I die. I mean, don't get me wrong, but No, we're not sponsored by Diet Pepsi. We have other sponsors. So, John, there's something that happened the other day, which I'm kind of curious about, because in America, well, let me set the stage. Okay. So I'm driving in the parking lot of the local grocery store, and this white guy comes up in front of me, and the fact that he's white is relevant. So just file that away for later. And he's wanting to cross, you know, to get to the cars, and I'm in a car, and it's like that mildly awkward social situation where you have to kind of like flag someone across.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, he waved to me as well. He did this kind of like goofy smile, and then he did like a half-assed jog for about like a split second, and then went back to walking.
I hate those. Yeah. It's like, jog or don't.
So my question is, like, I feel like this is something that every white person in America has in common in terms of culture. Like, if you look at it, every single white dude will do this every single time. They'll do the half jog for like just like a split second. And I'm wondering, do you guys have that in Australia as well?
That's an interesting observation. You know, I don't even. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, and I think it's so part of the culture. Mm-hmm. I don't even notice it. I think you're right. I think you're right. People do that. I think my dad does that. So.
Do you guys have the wave in traffic where you cut someone off or you're just a complete asshole, but you give like a little wave and it makes it okay? What are they? Oh, they gave me the wave. I can't be mad at them.
I don't.
They gave a little wave.
No, we don't. No, we're not. If we cut people off, we don't give them the wave. It's we give people the wave if they're really nice to us and they let us go. Like if it's if someone does something really nice, we just give them the wave. Oh, thank you guys for allowing me to come through there. Very epic.
We do that here too if they're nice, but it's like if you give someone the wave after doing something rude, like cutting someone off or something like that, or you made like a horrible mistake and almost crashed into them. You give it's like you give the little wave to be like to convey that it wasn't that bad.
I think if you nearly crash into someone, I think maybe the wave is appropriate. But I think any other time, I think if the sort of person that would cut someone off is not like going to be waving. That's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would they care? You know, they're badass. They just cut you off. Epic.
Do you guys flip people off, or you have like an equivalent of that? Like the middle finger. It's like for you guys, is it like the two fingers pointed up?
No, it's the middle finger here. Okay. As well. Yeah, I don't know that much on the roads though. I think I've had it happen before, but I don't. It doesn't happen very often. It could be just the place I live though. I'm in WA, so it's Western Australia. It's kind of like the backwater, people would say. I don't think it is. I think it's fantastic, but people in other states would say it is because it's a bit smaller, and there's not that much going on here. I don't know. I've always had this thing, people saying, like, we drive really well here. Like, there isn't that many driving issues in WA. So it might be that as well, to be fair. But I could happen in other states that I'm not aware of. But
so how bad is it to give the middle finger? Is that like, because here that's like, that's pretty bad. That could, like, you could start a fight, you know?
Yeah, I think it's about the same here. It could seriously cause a scuffle. It could cause a scuffle if you do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, it wasn't really going anywhere with that story. I just thought I was just interested if you guys had that kind of same phenomenon of like this.
Yeah, I think it's a universal thing.
Somehow everyone seems to understand that you're supposed to jog for just like a really, really short amount of time. Just kind of a performative jog.
I wonder if it has something to do with instinct somewhere. Like it's built in somewhere that we have to do that. I don't know. Well, it could be another thing for another day.
Possibly. I do, real quick before moving on. I do think that on like at least a surface level, you're showing urgency, right? By jogging.
Mm.
And maybe in your mind, like you want to show urgency, but you don't really want to get yourself into a sweat.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the other part of it.
Yeah. It's very possible.
You want to be polite, but not to the point where it really like inconveniences you at all.
It's almost like the other person will accept that, or at least they started to jog, but yeah, of course they're not going to want to get into a sweat, or they just, it's like the first impression. My first impression of the person, oh, okay, at least they're jogging. And then maybe they're hoping I don't even notice that they slow down.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't expect them to. Like, if they want to just walk, that's fine. But it seems like almost every time they do the jog.
Just be polite, but, like, it's like a fake politeness.
It is, yeah. So it's kind of not real.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't tip in Australia, right? Because you guys make like a living wage.
No, we don't. We don't tip. The tips are just not a thing. We do not. We absolutely do not tip. There is. I actually can't. I don't think. Well, I think we've done it like maybe once, but we don't tip to the server. We tip to the restaurant. So it's like, yeah, we don't know because we don't. We don't do tips here. I don't actually know why. I think it is because like you. The servers there make less, isn't it? And then they get like half their wages from tips or something.
Probably more than half.
Reason why?
It's probably more than that. Yeah, like probably 90% or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh, wow, yeah, but okay. it also varies wildly by state.
It does.
Like here in California, actually, we don't have a tipped wage. Like it's just minimum wage.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
But in some places, it can go down to like $2 an hour.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah. So if you live in California, you're good to go. But
I think the minimum wage here is $19.25 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's in Australian dollars. So it's a little bit less for you. It's probably like, what, 15, 14 bucks an hour?
Possibly.
Which is actually, not bad. You could like, that's $40,000 a year in Australia. Like in my state, you could live off that like easy in a year.
Well, so in California, it's a little bit higher because you kind of have to because literally people would. They would all die if you didn't, but
It would be your issue.
So if you take a taxi, you don't tip or like,
oh no, taxis are a ripoff here already, why would I want to tip them?
Oh well, I think you meant like an Uber or something.
No, we don't.
What if you go to a hotel and somebody handles your bags?
That's just not the culture here at all. Like
that's so interesting.
In our mind, like they're paid to do that. Like that's their job. So
and they're making a good amount.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be. Look, they'd be coming to some serious fire if they were actually paying people a proper wage. So it's just not a. It's just not a thing we do. Very interesting. You tip people like in Ubers and stuff.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah. You should. I mean, if Uber's not, it's not probably the main place where people. You could tip in an Uber. It would be welcomed. But like, if you go out to eat, you're supposed to tip. If you get like a drink at a bar, you're supposed to tip. If somebody like you go to a hotel and somebody handles your bags, you're supposed to tip like $1 or $2 per bag.
Wow.
But that's the thing where it's like the person who's carrying your bags and stuff is kind of technically they're doing something that's above and beyond where like they're helping you have a very convenient trip. So like, I understand that. But most of the tipping in America is based on the idea that, like, we just feel bad for them because they're making less than minimum wage. And it's kind of, I don't like it.
Well, I don't even know if it's feeling bad for them. It's just, like, the service industry. Like, yes, they're not making that much money. Yeah. But I'm not sure if people feel bad for waiters, but it's still expected to tip here.
Yeah, which is really awkward is that in California, even though the tipped wage is minimum wage, like people, we still feel obligated to tip at a restaurant, which is like, it's because it's part of the culture and because it wasn't always that way.
That's so interesting. Yeah. It's just not a thing here. Like I think it is just like people get paid their wage. They don't have to rely on the tips to mm-hmm. do that. That's really interesting. What's the tip percentage there? I know it changes like from person to person. What it was for like. Percentage tips.
So, like, if you have a meal at a sit down restaurant,
yeah,
like 20%.
20%.
Yeah.
Well, I would say 20%. I would say 20% would come with the expectation of really good service, though. Like, if someone does a shit job,
15 would be like min. I mean, 15 if they don't do a terrible job. If they do a terrible job, then all bets are off. Like,
if they do a terrible job, people just won't tip.
Yeah,
and that's like a sign.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But
that's a, like a passive aggressive thing. Like, oh, they did. I didn't give you a tip because you served me badly. I couldn't do that.
I mean, if I don't give somebody a tip at a sit-down restaurant, they had to have really messed up. Like, they yelled at me or something. They made me feel really bad.
Or it's like set me on fire or something. Yeah, then I definitely won't tip. But
it took 6 hours to get my food. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't not tip just because, like, there was, like, one slip-up or something. That would never be done.
No, no. I mean,
Yeah, of course.
That's like they threw up on my table. I don't know.
Oh my God.
And they're like, sorry, sucks to suck.
Yeah, I think you might not be able to get it to tip then, if that's the case. Yes.
Which that's never happened,
by the way. I would actually report someone in that situation too, but yeah.
There are sometimes I will go out to eat, and there are certain restaurants where if I'm in the mood for really bad service, just because I think it's hilarious, like it's like dinner and a show. And the show is that the service is so bad. Like we'll go to Red Robin.
Because
they'll talk to you sternly, and it's like a joke restaurant.
Yeah,
but like I'll still tip because I know what I'm getting myself into. Or like there's these other restaurants too. Stacked is one of them where their service is just notoriously bad.
What about Denny's at like 3 p.m. Like
I'll tip Denny, but yeah. It's not Denny's. You're not expected to. It's not like fine dining.
Yeah, by the way, John, all these references will make sense to Americans. I know you're probably not familiar with those restaurants.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here like, what on earth are you talking about right now? Like, Denny's and Red Robin, like, what is all this rubbish, you know?
Yeah, like the Space Blast Turquoise Cafe? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
No, that's not a real one.
Well,
it wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
Because, okay, so Denny's is the best way to describe it is like, as close to fast food as you can get in a sit-down restaurant. And it's got a reputation, basically, it's open all the time. In other words, it's a place you go when you're drunk at 2 in the morning, and it's not good food, but it's food. And, like, sometimes at 2 in the morning when you're drunk, that's all you need. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there.
You end up at Denny's.
Yeah, exactly. You never plan to go there. You just kind of show up.
Someone said that you just end up at Denny's, but it's true. Your theater troupe will perform a play, and afterwards you go to Denny's because it's easy
and probably cheap. I would assume
it's on the cheaper end.
Yeah,
sometimes it's like a situation where it's like you want food that's like it's never going to get above a 6 out of 10, but it's also pretty reliably a 6 out of 10. So it's like it's not going to suck. It's just average food.
Yeah. I don't know if we really have an equivalent here.
Story time, by the way. Sorry, if you want to get into something.
Ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I saw a creepy guy try to pick up a kid there once.
What?
At a Denny's. Yeah.
At Denny's.
Yeah. He was like buying, because they have these little cranes where you can win stuffed animals if you play the game there. And he won one of them and was like trying to like kind of hand the toy to the kid. And I think he was like trying to get his attention. It was really clear that they were not together. And like, it was really sketchy.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's, I didn't expect.
Were the parents
that
around?
You're like, story time. I wasn't just like, oh, someone actually trying to steal a kid inside the restaurant. So what I expected.
Well, I think is like the parents were there, but like the kid was kind of off playing because like they were. Yeah. It was really sketchy.
Well, you always have to keep an eye on your kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's my child abduction story, or rather child attempted abduction.
Near miss.
Abduction. Yeah.
John, you made a video about, and I wanted to, I thought that we could go into talking about your Minecraft video.
Oh, yes.
You made a video about 8 months ago called The Rise, Fall, and Resurgence of Minecraft. And the very first thing that you mentioned is that it's reached heights no other game has. So my question is this. What kind of heights are we talking? Like 200 blocks or like 50 blocks?
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Because like 50 blocks is still pretty high, but 200 blocks, that's something different.
I was about to like give a nice answer, then he just started talking about the blocks, and
no, by all means. I mean, obviously it's an extremely popular, almost revolutionary
We have our own Minecraft server for the show. Yeah, it's really nice.
I saw the channel. Yes.
Yeah.
It's all going on. I believe Minecraft is one of these things that it is truly interesting to see how it's grown and developed. I think I checked one day on the Google Trends for it, and I think like recently it's peaked, like almost the highest it's ever peaked ever.
Wow.
Yeah. So 87% of the Google Trends like works in percentages. Like 100% is the top. It's the most it's ever peaked. And anything down from that is like a percentage of that top one. So recently, it is 87% of the peak interest. Oh, no. That's from the last 5 years. But
so
from the last 5 years, that's 87% of the peak interest. That was in April of this year. And the last time it did that, last time it got even higher than that was back in 2015.
I would have guessed 2014. That was my guess.
Yeah, it's all. Oh, it's probably because this is only a five year thing. So if you go back and you go 2004 to present, oh yeah. So here it peaked in 2013 July, and then it went down from there. And recently, that's then 67% of the peak. That's still really good.
Yeah,
67% of what it was like at its very peak. It's still like amazing. How long has this game been out, dude?
Like 11 years?
10 years, 11 years. Yeah. Dude, that is no other game can last that long in the ecosphere. It's impossible. Like, when's the last time you heard anyone talk about Fortnite, dude? That lasted for like 3 years, 2 years, and now it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, Minecraft and Fortnite peaked at the same level. But Fortnite has just fallen in that span of time, and I don't see it coming back anytime soon.
Well, yeah, now that Fall Guys exist, I think it's kind of going to be hard.
Yeah, I think it's all gonna. I don't know. There's no game quite like Minecraft that lasts for so long and like never truly dies.
Yeah.
And I think like the it really was dying for a while though. Like you look at the trends and you realize, oh, you know. Oh, sorry. In sort of like end of 2018, it was they didn't really know. I assume they didn't really know what they were doing, and then they probably changed. They changed the way that they released updates. They changed they did a really interesting thing where they crammed as many things into updates as possible so that it would make people want to play again. That's kind of the strategy that they had going, and it worked for them because Minecraft came back after it felt like it was going to die. And it never really died. It never really like went completely dead, but it had a low point. Like the lowest point it went, it was 18% of the peak interest, which is low.
That's pretty low.
It is pretty low. But now it's back up. It was back up at 66 earlier on in the year. Now it's 54. I mean, dude, half of what it was like back in like 2013 is still like a lot of people playing. And I think there's a more robust community now than there was like a few years ago.
Now, apparently, very very early on, the game cost like €5, and apparently, like extreme. I'm talking very early on. Notch had apparently made €18,000 at one point on the game. Why didn't he just stop there and bank out?
€18,000. I know. I think he did. I think he knew. It wasn't going to quite stop there. It wasn't going to stop them. There's always more with these sorts of things. There's always a little bit more. I think he realized this was only the beginning. And he realized, this game, has a bit of a potential. I know he said he did enjoy working on it. I think he lost interest for it eventually, like back like 2014 time. But, I think he really did enjoy working on it. And I think he realized, look, this is a... There's certainly more here. There's more potential here, and I think he capitalized on that.
You know, you've got games like Ruby Dung.
And, yes.
Ruby Dung never took off. So you would think, Minecraft gets to €18,000. He would just, this is way more than I ever made on Ruby Dung. I'm just gonna cash out.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and he eventually made like $1.5 billion.
It was a lot. It's probably more that we don't know about.
Apparently, he's still getting like a 43% royalty on all the sales.
Really?
I think 43%. Yeah.
Is it 43%? I didn't know that one. Gosh, that guy is like swimming in it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, it's like a situation where he's swimming in a lot of money. but like no one likes him anymore. So it's kind of
yeah, it's a sad moment. Oh, I think he's had sort of a redemption recently. I think he's gone on Dream's channel actually and played Minecraft with them. So I think that's like his redemption arc in like the Minecraft scene. I don't know if anyone outside of the Minecraft scene likes him though.
Wait, I didn't know that people didn't like him. I didn't.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, there's some tweets and things that he said and people weren't very happy with him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's been some controversy in just the past few years.
Apparently he bought after selling Minecraft, he bought a mansion for like $80 million in Hollywood, in Beverly Hills, sorry. And apparently he outbid Beyonce and Jay-Z.
They have to be pissed, dude. Yeah. The Minecraft guy outbidding them on the bloody house they wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be so upset.
Man. Yeah.
Like, I'm Beyonce, I still can't have exactly what I want.
Yeah. I know, yeah, like, but imagine from his perspective, like, he's living in the house that Beyonce and Jay-Z wanted.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is where they would have their Shark Tank, but this is where I put my, like, I don't know, my shoes.
Gaming toys and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, my Lego blocks.
Yeah.
This is...
Honestly, the guy is loaded. And I think it's, like, one of the few people, like, people don't really think about, like, the guys being loaded. Like, we think, oh, these celebrities have to be loaded, you know? Like, Beyonce and you know, Justin Bieber and whoever else is making all the bank. Well, actually, probably the TikTok stars are making more than them nowadays. Like, all the D'Amelios, you think, oh, they have to be loaded. But then you think about Notch. And Notch is, like, more than them by, like, a few times.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, it's, like an unlikely choice, isn't it? You don't think about that. But he is loaded right now.
The top TikTok stars, they're probably, they on one sponsored post, they could make probably like $100,000 maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe more even. Like 15, depends who it is.
15-second video. Could be more.
It could be more. Honestly, I've seen a lot of sponsored things on TikTok, like for that sort of thing. I can 100% like see them making,
in a good day.
I'm trying to think now. Yeah, okay.
Probably make $1 million.
Yeah, on $1 million in a, I don't know, $1 million in a day is a lot.
$1 million in maybe a couple of days or a few days.
I feel like it's easy. I think they could make $1 million in a week.
Oh, for sure.
I think so. For sure. I think think about like the amount of money that you'd be making a year, and not just from one account, right? There's like a few accounts. So the TikTok stuff, it's whenever you have one person that really blows up, you start seeing their family join in. Like, it's usually one person that does really well, and then the dad and the mum decide, okay, well, my daughter's found their fame now, it's time to quit the job and do TikTok for a living. So the whole family comes along, and then you don't just have one person doing it, you have, you know, three or four people doing it. And then, you know, you've got the family account, and you've got the other things, and it's all kind of, and all the platforms together, right? So it's not just sponsored posts from TikTok, but it's like brand deals, and it's or brand deals in the sense that you're working with a brand on a product kind of thing. So I know, like, I think some of the D'Amelios have their own makeup line now. I think that's a thing. I think Optimorphe. I'm not 100% sure.
They've got it made for life at this point. Charlie D'Amelio and Dixie D'Amelio are like, Charlie is the most followed TikTok star in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So easy. They've got their life sorted out now. What I think it's really interesting. I heard about a theory about Mark D'Amelio, which is their father.
The dad. Yeah.
There is a theory about that. He apparently is some sort of, he works in politics or something, and he was running for mayor, I think.
Oh.
So people have this idea like, oh, get really famous on TikTok. And then when those people are old enough to vote, you know, 4 years, they'll vote him in as mayor because they know him.
Or Charlie. Charlie could run for mayor or whatever if she wanted to.
Yeah, if she could. I mean, I don't know if that's any aspirations, but I know definitely the Mark guy is. So
right.
That's an interesting theory there. It could have been that. Never know, I suppose.
Yeah, that's why brands are so interested in TikTok too, is because it's young kids, so you know, if they get the brand recognition now, they're instilling they're basically implanting memories into the kids of like the product placement. They're gonna remember that 10 years from now.
Yeah, and it's not even just that, it's also like, I think kids have a larger like buying influence over parents than anyone else does. Like if a kid wants something, the parents are more likely to get it, right? So I think that's I think that's also to do with it.
It's very interesting. I had one last question about Minecraft, by the way.
Well, can we stick on this topic for a second? Because we can get to that in a second, but
yeah,
that just kind of made me think about something, which is that I feel like there's something that I don't want to call it immoral about the TikTok model, but I think it's going to cause some problems, which is that it's instilling this sense in really young teenagers that everyone needs to be a content creator and everyone needs to make it and everything. Mm. And I don't necessarily think that that's super healthy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there is this culture of being famous. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people want it, but they don't really know what it means.
Yeah. Right.
Or what that entails. I think also fame on different platforms is very different. TikTok and YouTube, for example, I think YouTube, if you do well on YouTube, you know, let's say you got 500,000 subs, the equivalent to that on TikTok is like maybe 2 million followers. Just because of the sheer number of people and like the sheer like just the amount of people that have that sort of thing. Like I've seen people that have millions of followers that I've never heard of on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I think it changes. The whole thing changes. But it's not even just that. I mean, it's a lot of the stuff on TikTok, it is very reliant on sort of at like a surface level appearance kind of aspect to do with your fame, rather than maybe YouTube having to do with the actual content you make. I don't know if the people that are the most famous on the app got there because they made amazing content. They probably got there.
There's definitely, I mean, I agree with your analysis there. It's probably a lot harder to get famous on YouTube because your content has to be good. On TikTok, you could do all kinds of things to get famous without having actually content.
You can just, I mean, dancing, I guess, is content. I don't know, like, if you're a good dancer already, you don't really have to do much, do you? You kind of just dance.
Well, I knew this.
That's kind of it.
Dancing is content. I knew this, I didn't know him, but there was this person that got extremely famous on TikTok overnight. He got like hundreds of thousands, maybe close to a million followers. And all he did was post these horrible, terrible jokes, like these disgusting jokes, racist jokes, all kinds of awful, terrible humor. And he wasn't even and then the background, it was text over his face that wasn't doing anything. And it was the same thing over. Like, I don't even want to repeat any of the jokes. They're awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like picture dead baby jokes from 15, 20 years ago. Just that level of like.
Ah, fantastic.
Immature. Yeah. So it wasn't good. It wasn't it wasn't even his own content. It was just these jokes that he heard over his own face. And people subscribed anyway. So.
Yeah. I think there's an interesting culture on TikTok. It's very, very different to YouTube. I don't even think, like, actually, what's really interesting, the way that you contrast them is you think about how many TikTokers, other than the massive stars, have, like, prominent YouTube channels that weren't already a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Like, none. You cannot, the thing about TikTok is it does not carry over well, unless you're massive.
Then it works. Carry anyway,
because you've got millions of followers, so you know if 2 million go over to your YouTube channel, you know that's a win, you know, but that's a very small percentage of your audience. Imagine that happening with a person that has 1 million followers. What do they have then on YouTube? You know, 20,000 subs. Like it's the amount of people that they carry over from TikTok to YouTube is so small and tiny and insignificant that it doesn't even matter. And it's a testament to, you know, like the differences in content and the differences in culture. It is truly one of these things that I think is really interesting. It's literally just that.
In terms of you know, the young teenagers wanting to get famous, I don't blame that on TikTok because that was already the case with YouTube. I think that TikTok exists because there is that desire. And that's why it's popular. I think that there's definitely, you know, this desire among young people to want to get famous, and it is what it is, and we'll see what that turns into.
Yeah, I think it's there is definitely a desire there. I don't know if it's for everyone, but there is a lot of people. I feel like there was a study done. I might be misquoting something, but I feel like it might have been in a Nerd City video that I heard, and I remember this. But he said like that someone did a study in some country, and apparently the top job that to do was be a YouTuber. That was their top job. Now it'd probably be TikTok star. I think that study's a few years old, but you know, it's a testament, right?
Yeah,
kids want to grow up to be a YouTuber.
In Asia, several countries in Asia, it was that they wanted to be like a mathematician or a scientist, and in various places. And then like in America, it was like the social media star.
Yeah, it could have been. I think you're right. It's I can't remember now. I think it was the Nerd City video. I'll go look at it later. But yeah,
could be.
It's yeah. I think I remember that. And it is so interesting. It kind of came from this thing. Like, it's a lot easier as well to blow up on TikTok than it is on YouTube. Getting subscribers on YouTube and getting followers on TikTok is like so different. I posted one TikTok. It was like it was a fantastic TikTok. It was only 15 seconds long. I think it spent me an hour. I like edited it and I filmed a little bit of it. I'll send it to you guys later. But it's
okay.
And I gained 4,000 followers off it. Just the one.
Yeah. Like that can happen.
Dude, I posted one 15-second video. I spent like under an hour on it and I got 4,000 followers.
Yeah.
Dude, how long do you spend on your YouTube videos to get 4,000 subscribers?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's way different,
Joe,
yeah.
Joe, you should tell him the slide situation.
Oh, I'm on TikTok. I have something of a following. Before I went to Europe, I was in Europe in February and March, and I was at like 28,000 followers. Then I posted some videos, and I think I got up to 32,000 followers within a couple of weeks. But I posted a video about a slide, and it was just the biggest slide you've ever seen. And I was like, if you like this video, by the time I got up, I was like, I'm going to go down this slide, but you have to like for part two. And that just caused people to freak out. Like, they were liking it, they were sharing it. It got thousands of shares. At the end of the day, it blew up when I got back from Europe, and it ended up getting almost 10 million views.
Whoa.
So overnight, I got like 70,000 followers, basically,
followers
from that one video.
Well, there you go. How many followers are you on right now?
I have two. Between my two accounts, I think I have 230,000.
Wow, that's not bad at all, dude.
No,
you got the TikTok audience.
It's not too bad,
but it does kind of. It was kind of just further demonstrating what you were saying about how it's like TikTok makes it look so easy compared to YouTube in terms of growth.
Yeah,
there's a lot of other things though that YouTube does much better. Like monetization on TikTok really sucks. They've got the creator fund now, but it's like it's not very good. So
yeah.
I think it's something like 3 cents per 1,000 views or something.
Well, that's not nothing. 3 cents.
If you get if you get
100,000 views is $3. So that's a dollar per 30,000 views.
That's not much though.
It's not much. 100,000 views, $30. If 100,000 views on YouTube, I think you'd be looking at I don't know. 100? It depends on the CPMs, obviously. But 100,000 views. It's not 100. It's like a little bit more than that because it's not 0.1. I think you'd be making like 250, 300, I think.
Okay. It's not like that's much better.
Like Mr. Beast money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could be making it a lot better than that. Yeah. It depends on the CPM and the person, of course. Some content just has better CPMs.
Yeah.
CPM is how much, by the way, it's people listening that don't know. CPM is how much an advertiser is basically willing to pay to be on your channel.
Right.
So the bigger your channel, the better your channel is looking in terms of stats.
I got a stats for you.
The more advertisers will be willing to pay to get on those channels, so your CPM, which is basically your rating, that's the amount of money that advertisers are willing to pay you per 1,000 views, goes up over time as your stats increase. So a small channel will have a lower CPM, but a bigger channel will have a higher one. That's just how it works.
It's more valuable to be on that bigger channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Another weird thing about TikTok, by the way, is that it has this very, very, very evolved culture on it, which is like, first of all, it's very unique because it's definitely like more music oriented. Like, not everyone on there is doing dancing, but that's kind of like how it started. So like it's music is intrinsic to it, but also like people are just weird on it. Have you guys seen the Indian Joker stuff on there where that guy's making the face?
No,
I don't believe I've seen it. Maybe I have, but I can't remember. Dude, it all happens so quickly. It's 15 to 30 second videos most of the time, and you just like.
So I'm gonna put a link in the chat because like there's this guy called the Indian Joker, and it's just a link to
some. Oh yeah, I know this guy. Oh,
I've seen him. Yeah, I have seen him.
So like,
guys, you just need to show me the face.
Yeah, guys, if this is an audio podcast, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go type in Joker TikTok and go to the images.
So something happened to Lars.
Lars is just gone.
Oh, I just got borked. There we go. Yeah, just go look up Joker TikTok. Go to Google Images, and it's like, I don't even know how to describe the face that this guy is making. But what's really weird is I find this absolutely hilarious. But a lot of people really like it. Like, it's very popular. It's like, how does stuff like this become mainstream and big? Like, what's going on TikTok that's promoting this kind of stuff?
It's just the sense of humor of the younger generation, I guess, and the people on TikTok. It's like it's ridiculous. They like stuff that's ridiculous. They like, you know.
But I from what I can gather, his fans like this. Like, it's serious. Like, it's not really meant to be funny.
It's how and why?
Exactly.
I don't remember what types of videos he made. What is he?
So he makes videos where like there's like a bad situation going on, like some kid's in trouble or something, and then he comes into the video and he snaps his neck. You know, he pretends that he snaps his neck, and it, like, then all of a sudden he pops into this Joker face, and then everyone runs away, and that's like one of his main forms of content is him playing weird Joker.
Well, that's an interesting one. He's probably not got much of an audience now because, you know, TikTok's banned in India.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it'll crumble overnight.
Random niche stuff like that gets popular. I mean, there's...
Yeah,
I guess so. It could be, yeah. It could be. Interesting.
My content on one of my channels, Joey Cooks, is literally just me saying to my brother,
"Oh, you don't want to eat that spaghetti. That spaghetti's poisoned, and unless everybody likes and shares within, like, a couple moments..."
Mm-hmm. And that's almost every single video I post is just that same exact phrase, almost. And some of them get, like, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of views. And I'm not sure why exactly, but it's just the way it is.
This is a social experiment now.
Well, I just wonder, maybe there's, like, a decent amount of the people who are, like... They're a little young and they're not really sure if it's a joke.
So they share and follow.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that is what happens. I think that because they are getting like thousands of shares, a lot of them. I think it is, and then a lot of the times little kids will comment, "That's not poisoned. I asked my mom," or like something like that. And then the people will be like, "If he only has a week to live, but you've been doing this for so long, why is he still alive?" And I'm like, well, enough people have been liking and sharing.
they're just overall putting it off. They're putting off the hammer of death. Yeah.
But that's also sometimes people just need to be prompted to do something.
Yeah.
So if you prompt them for a like and a share.
Yeah. Call
maybe
action,
just maybe they'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That actually does make sense.
John, you make videos on YouTube about other people, but I have some questions for you. Who is John Swan? So I put together a lightning round of questions so the audience can get a better picture of who you are.
Ooh, I like this. This is good. Now I don't have to do any of the work. How do you describe yourself?
Yeah. Well, this is just going to be a lightning round of quick questions. First question, are you an actual swan?
I'm afraid I cannot disclose at this time.
Okay, we're not off to a good start. what's your favorite breakfast?
like a bacon and eggs on toast. There okay. you go.
That was fucking delicious.
Eggs on toast.
Would you rather be Would you rather be a vampire or a werewolf?
A vampire or werewolf? I think vampire. I think it sounds better.
Okay. What's your favorite color? And this is gonna reveal your deep like underlining psyche. So and I'll okay. psychoanalyze you after.
Okay. It's blue. There you go.
Blue. Okay. So blue. That means that you're a very mellow person.
It does?
I don't know if that's true. Yeah, I just seem like color, it. Bro. I just like the color. It's cool.
Okay, moving on.
Please.
Would you rather be blind, deaf, mute, or blind, deaf, and mute?
Or all of the
blind,
above.
Blind, deaf, yeah, like, mute, or all of the above. Blind, deaf, mute, or all of the above.
Yeah, blind, deaf, mute, or blind, deaf, and mute.
This is an interesting one, isn't it? I would probably say deaf if I had to pick one, okay. maybe. Yeah, I think so.
I think by the...
Oh, no, mute. I'm wrong.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I feel like...
Oh. I was about to say... My brain did a stupid thing. No, mute.
Yeah. Well, because I feel like also, even though mute is slightly better, I guess in a sense that you don't lose, vision or hearing, but also speech synthesis technology is starting to get pretty decent. So you could just let your phone talk for you, and it would be not as good, but you get by, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So, next question. My fingernails are currently black, right? I painted them black. What color should I paint them next?
Like a fluorescent pink.
Okay.
Like glowy, glow in the dark.
Pink. Glow? I don't have that one.
Well, I'm sure you can find it. I made it up. It probably exists.
I'm sure it does. I have three shades of pink, but I don't have a fluorescent, glow in the dark pink.
Oh, I think we should probably figure out if that's a thing.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Are you an alien?
I'm an alien. I'm afraid I can't comment on the validity of that statement.
Same. Why have 80% of your responses to our questions just been, I can't comment, I can't say anything about this?
Because I'm moving on, guys. I can't.
Or you should have just said no comment in response to that and just shut me up.
Redacted.
Yeah.
Anyway. Do 1 and 1 make 3?
You know what? They should, so I'm just going to say yes.
Okay.
And my last question, if you hit 1 million subs, are you going to do a voice reveal?
What makes you think this isn't my real voice, Joe?
Ooh. Oh, no, I guess that's a good point. I guess you've already done the voice reveal.
Okay.
No, the Joe, why did you bring up about that this may not be my voice, Joe? I don't think that's...
No, I was just joking, because
No, Joe. Mm. Joe. Mm. So, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there are many obligations that I have to make sure that I, I'm in Australia and all that kind of stuff, So let's make sure we don't get this twisted. Okay, this is my real voice. Okay,
sure.
Okay. And No one, there's nothing suspicious going on here at all.
You're not just pretending to be from Australia.
No, absolutely not.
Joe, don't dox him. Oh boy. Okay.
Okay, no worries. Well, moving on. Apparently somebody was keeping track of your answers apparently this is how you answered the questions. Unknown, red, vampire, blue, mute, fluorescent pink, no comment, yes, already did, but that's interesting.
So thanks for keeping track of
thank
that.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you very much. Sure. Someone just kept track of my answers to the question.
I'm pretty sure number two wasn't bread, though. It was...
It was bacon and eggs on toast.
Yeah, that was way off.
I suppose bread is kind of... they probably just assume, because, the swan thing, that it's bread. But...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where they didn't think that we were going to spend this... I bet they didn't think we were going to spend this long talking about it.
And just dismantling what they said, yeah.
Yeah, picking apart their... I don't know who Susie Lou is, but she sounds like a bad YouTuber. Am I in the ballpark of assuming that?
Not just a bad YouTuber, but she's also a bad person.
Oh, man.
there's a lot in that saga, and there's stuff still going on that I can't even talk about. Oh my gosh,
redacted.
It's ridiculous how long it went on, and it didn't have to. I've been told that there may be some legal action being taken against her by some anime companies. It could happen. It could not happen. Who knows, dude? So it's very interesting how that's all working here. The Suzy Lee saga is quite something. How much do you know about her? Do you not know anything about her at all?
Almost. I mean, very little. Very, very little. Only from watching, like, your video.
Okay, well, if you watch my video, you would know kind of who she is. Anime reaction YouTuber and hypocrite and copyright abuser. Not a very nice person. She's said some things on Twitter that have been just outlandish and terrible. She's not exactly a very good person at all. And the saga was went on for much longer than I expected or wanted it to, because she kept on digging herself into a deeper hole. It's one of those things that I didn't really understand. You know, a lot of the drama situations that happened, you know, they're over in a few weeks, but this just like kept on going.
Yeah, but didn't she?
Holy crap!
Didn't she post a live stream of the BBC election, and it was like she was basically claiming it as her own, but there was not even any commentary over it.
There was no commentary. She says she live streamed the BBC election back in 2016. There was no commentary over it. And then she recently, or just every year ago now, she struck someone else's video for including 23 seconds of her video at the start, which was an edited clip of her video at the start of their video for comedic effect. And, she struck that. She decided, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm just going to strike their video, even though I've, broadcasted the BBC on my channel. Epic. She's not a very good person. I've wanted to move on for ages, and that's the reason why I haven't talked about it for a long time, because she keeps on feeding off the drama. I feel like she's really irrelevant, and the only way she can stay relevant is to get herself into trouble. So that's the reason why I've kind of strayed away from that for a while now. But
that's an interesting topic in and of itself. People who, you know, want to stay relevant by any means necessary, so they enjoy the criticism as well. People making videos.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I don't really get it.
Well, I think it's just kind of a thing in YouTube. Like, there's always a Suzy Lou.
Yeah.
Whether it's Suzy Lou herself, or whether it's Mad Haas, you know, suing H3H3, or, you know, Daddy Derek with the Cool Cat Saves the Kids saga. There's always going to be some guy, some girl that just, like, they're going to abuse the takedown system just because they really just, at the end of the day, it's about them being made to look silly in some way. It's not it's not really about whether I think that there was actually a fair use issue.
Well, they didn't want to ruin their image.
Right, and that's why Daddy Derek took down the Cool Cat videos that I Hate Everything did. That's why Matt Haas, you know, tried to sue H3 over their parody of their review and reaction to the Bull Guy stuff. And that's why I think Suzy Lou is really trigger happy, is because she just doesn't want to be made fun of. And
I do.
This is the internet, though, and that's just kind of what's going to happen.
Speaking of H3H3, I did want to point out that when he was making fun of women's appearances, that wasn't very nice of him. Like, why do YouTubers even have to comment on a woman's appearance at all?
Well, I don't think he was really so much focusing on their appearance. I think he was talking about how these are people who go way out of their way to completely change themselves in the editing room when they take these photos, and they kind of catfish the internet in a way.
I get that. I get wanting to point that out, but the way he did it was saying like, oh, she looks like a Twinkie, she looks like a whale. John, is there a fine line between wanting to call out the fact that they were like catfishing the internet and like making fun of their appearance? Like, what's the, I don't know.
Look, I'm of the opinion that if you go on the internet and you post things on the internet, you open yourself up to, you know, whatever. If people want to make fun of you, I mean, that's it's kind of your fault, isn't it? Allowing that to happen in a way. I mean, like, if you give people fuel to do it, people are going to do it. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, you're still going to get it regardless, whether it's from a big creator or whether it's from a random person on Twitter. Like, it just happens. Like, when you're on the internet, things just happen. Like, I get bloody tweets all the time. But the thing is that I don't really care about it. I'm just going to brush it off and move on. Like, I think a lot of people, they deal with it in different ways. And I don't know. I think when you're on the internet, I think you just have to, have to accept that this is just going to happen. And
sure,
you knew what you were getting into. I suppose if this happened,
right. Kind of. I think I agree with you that if you are this big social media star, you have to acknowledge that people are going to make fun of you, and you probably shouldn't get upset when it happens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're somebody that's making fun of people, like, for their appearance or saying that they look like a whale, I think that speaks more to the person making fun of them than it does the person themselves. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like cheap shots and humor being a thing for a long time. Right.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
This isn't something new. It's always been a thing. And I don't know. There's also a weird thing where it's like, okay, making fun of someone's appearance on YouTube, that's a no. But guys, we're allowed to say Orange Man bad. We're allowed to say Donald Trump looks like a Cheeto, and that's fantastic.
Yeah,
you're allowed to do that. You see, it's interesting how it changes when it comes.
Orange Man, where's the
line between a public figure and making fun of someone? Like, are we allowed? Like, Donald Trump's a person too. You could argue. I mean, I don't know if he's necessarily a very good person. I don't really care. But you could say he's a person too, right? So, are we allowed to make fun of him then and say he looks like a Cheeto? Well, he does, but
I think part of it is that he's so hated that people just don't care. Like, there's an element that he deserves it because he's such a such a bad person. Not that makes it right, but people, I don't think they're gonna get as upset.
Yeah,
I think so too. I think, I mean, you could argue the same thing, isn't it? So yeah, I think it's very interesting. Like, there's a lot of conversations there. Like, where is the line between I think if you're a public figure, that's when you say, okay, I'm allowed to be made fun of because I'm a public figure. I put myself into here and this is what I want. If it's some random person on the internet, it changes for me. Like, obviously, I don't think it's right to go to some random person on the internet. But if it's a public figure, look, they put themselves into that situation. They knew it was going to happen.
They knew what they're getting themselves into.
You're going to get it regardless if it's, if H3 does it or not. Like, you're just going to get it.
Yeah.
And I think that you should allow yourself to be opened up to that sort of thing. I don't think that's... you can. Then there's another argument. Is a YouTuber a public figure? And I know there's a whole thing going around right now with Keemstar and Romeo Lacoste. The whole thing that's going on.
I'd say they're pretty public.
Yeah. So Keemstar Romeo Lacoste is suing Keemstar because Keemstar made a drama alert on him, and he exposed that he texted a bunch of underage girls and stuff.
Mm.
Not very good stuff.
No.
Apparently, it did happen as well. Like, in the first lawsuit, they actually stated that he did it, and it was are you supposed to be doing that? It was so bad they had to throw it out and start over.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that whole thing happened. But there's actually a Ninth Circuit court appeal going on right now. It was filed a few days ago. And it's about whether a 900K sub YouTuber is considered a public figure.
I would
say.
So
I'm interested to see the outcome of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so, but
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I would think so, but the courts are another thing.
Yeah.
Because the thing about defamation and slander is that if it's a public figure, the playing field changes completely.
Right.
So if it is a public figure,
mm-hmm.
The qualifications or the qualifiers, sorry, become a little bit more loose.
So
because they're a public figure.
Well, I have kind of a prediction though, because this is just an observation about how the courts have interacted with internet stuff, which is that I don't really think the legal system quite understands stuff like YouTube and podcasts and internet. And I think that they probably wouldn't necessarily argue that someone who's big on YouTube is a public figure because they don't understand what it means to be big on YouTube.
Because
it's not like other celebrities. It's just...
No, you're right.
They haven't really caught up to it.
I feel like the legal system is out of touch.
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah. I mean, they've done like fair use cases in relation to YouTube before. I know we have the H3 one, and then we have the Carl Benjamin one. You know, there's a few fair use cases in relation to YouTube. So I think they're getting better over time. I mean, obviously, as people become more open to that sort of thing and, you know, in tune with the online sphere, that stuff is going to become a bit more, you know, available, and people are going to understand more what that means. But, you know, I don't know. It's I think they're getting better. What's going on, dude? I'm just yawning the whole time.
Well, yeah. But then we still have, like, situations where, like, when the famous podcaster Maddox sued Dick Masterson for making fun of him on the internet, like, they were still having to, like, explain to the judge, like, so a podcast is this. And so it's like, yeah, there's been some progress made, but it's still pretty rudimentary.
It's pretty rudimentary. We'll get there eventually. I mean, as the younger people take over from the older people and the new generation comes through, it is eventually going to happen. But it's just a matter of when, right? I think they're catching up, but, you know.
I feel like the younger people that take over for the older people, there's still going to be generations below them. So maybe it's like,
we'll be moving slowly. This is like another whole topic.
Yeah.
It's like, how much further can technology really go?
Right.
Well, I mean, like, I would think it would. I don't know. I would think it would keep progressing, like, at a reasonable, similar rate. But
how much have we seen technology progress in the past 5 years or so?
So, in some ways, almost nothing. But in other ways, quite a lot. Like, it really depends on the industry, I think.
I get what you're saying, though. Like, once you've got a generation that was born into the internet, that's already, you know, light years ahead of a generation that was not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, however, there is another situation that's evolving at the moment now, which I actually learned about pretty recently, which is that we're kind of the newest generation is devolving a little bit in that way. Because, okay, so Joe, our generation grew up with, like, computers specifically. And then, but their generation grew up with smart devices. And knowing how to use a computer is much more technical than knowing how to use a smartphone or a tablet.
That's true.
Whereas there was at one point there was an assumption that youngsters knew how to use computers and were very technologically savvy. That's actually changing. And apparently, like, teachers are learning that they can't make these assumptions anymore. So it's kind of going backwards.
You know what? You're actually right. There's so many people when I was still in school that didn't know how to do, like, basic things. Mm-hmm. And it was quite something. Like, they didn't know, like, triple clicking on a Word document. They didn't know what that meant. They didn't know what that did. They didn't know they could do that. And it's just, like, basic things that you would think, oh, okay, well surely people know about this. But no, they don't know what's going on. It's very interesting. You're actually right about that. It is devolved a bit. I've always been a very techie guy. I've always been interested in tech stuff. I think a lot of YouTubers are, actually.
I hear that you're Tabor's go-to tech guy for, like, all those kind of questions.
Yeah, I do a lot of tech stuff. I've always been very interested in it. So I was just, like, the resident, like, tech expert in school. Mm-hmm. Whenever someone had an issue, they're just, you know, James, what do you have here? Is this a problem? So I always kind of help. But you're right, you know, it's a lot of people don't know what it means to all of the computer stuff. You're actually completely right.
Just a quick aside, by the way, he called himself James there. He wasn't just being insane. That's his actual real name, if the audience is not aware.
Yes, the real name is James, but it's John online. Dude, I'm not going to get into why I did that, but it's a thing now.
We were having a little bit of a laugh, a couple of the fans and I, before this all started, when we were on a voice chat, because we're like, he went from James, and I won't say your last name, but he went from James to John. We're like, that's not a version of that name. So it was just really interesting to see. Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, my name is public now. Like, as I said, when you're a public figure, things happen, unfortunately. Yeah. You're open to some insane people coming after you. And unfortunately, that happened to me. And some dude in Australia, all our tax information, like, all our, like, we have, whenever we start up a business for tax purposes, we have to. And when we start up a business, that information is public online. So it's name and general area, which the area is old and I haven't updated it. So someone still thinks I live somewhere where I don't, but that's completely irrelevant. So yeah, my name, they found my name there and they decided to publish that. You know, it's sad. I couldn't keep the anonymity forever. I knew it was going to come at some point, but this is just what happens. You know, when you're a public figure, it's what happens in the deals. You know?
You've ever been recognized in real life?
No, never, never.
Would you want to be?
I don't know. I feel like it's better to be anonymous. I feel like it's a slippery slope. Like once it starts with one person, it'll start happening with a lot of people. I don't know. It's. I think it's better to be anonymous in that sense. I've never been big on like the whole like mainstream celebrity. Can I get a picture with you? Mm. Rubbish. Like I'm not into that sort of thing. I just make videos that I like to make. I just make content that I like and hope that other people like it as well. And you know, apparently they do. So that's very good. But
that's good.
I'm not a big fan of like the fame aspect of it. I'm a really creative person. I really love, you know, expressing my creativity in different ways. And YouTube is just like the one way that I've found recently to express that and to do that. You know, there's I think it's probably, you know, and you get paid for it. Like, dude, this is like the ideal job that you could have. Like, express your creativity in the way that you want to and get paid for it. Dude, that is like the best job. So
yeah.
I'm really happy right now with where I am and what I'm doing. I not really been big fan of the fame aspect of it. That's the reason I don't show my face very often unless it's like live streams and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't usually do face videos. Because I don't want that to be my image forever, right?
Speaking of which, by the way, I have noticed something, and this may or may not be intentional, but I've noticed that you don't have a particularly loud appearance, unlike some other YouTubers. And I think that's probably going to benefit you in the long run. Like, because you kind of, like, you could easily blend in with the crowd for the most part, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just your average Joe. I don't do anything. I'm your average John, actually.
Oh, where we go.
Yeah, do you have a cup of John at breakfast?
Sorry?
You have a cup of John?
A cup of Joe.
Oh, is that a saying over there? A cup of Joe?
Yeah, I know the saying. We don't use it, but I know a lot of American culture finds its way here because that's all that's just like really shit on television. It's just American stuff.
Yeah.
So we a lot of us grew up with it anyway.
You know, like an Americano? Do you guys have
Americano.
Like... Yeah, the coffee?
Oh, the coffee, yeah. The only reason I know that is because I've lived in a few places throughout my life and I know that saying from somewhere else. We don't use that here, though.
Do you use Australiano?
No, we don't. This is not a word. No. You guys don't have a flat white, do you?
A flat white, no.
Yeah, knew it. Yeah, exactly. There are different names to these things.
What is it? I'm assuming it's coffee with milk.
Coffee with milk.
Is that a flat white? I don't know.
I don't drink coffee. So I couldn't tell you. My dad always orders one, but I couldn't tell you what a flat white is. Flat white is a coffee drink consisting of espresso with microfoam. It is comparable to a latte, but smaller in volume with less microfoam.
Okay. Oh, okay. By the way,
so it's like a. There you go.
I have here pulled up what is apparently an Aussie slang dictionary. I'm gonna go through some of them. Can you tell me if they're real or not?
Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of these are like really stupid. I've seen them.
Okay. Fisticuffs. I mean, that's right. Probably real.
Yeah.
We don't use that.
Okay. Do you guys use?
I know what it is, but.
Do you guys use the term dinky D?
What the hell is that, dude?
It says here on the line that apparently dinky D is Australian slang for genuine.
No, it's not. I've never heard that in my life.
What about Akadaka?
ACDC.
Yeah.
Yes, I know ACDC. Come on, guys.
Okay, do you guys say the duck's guts?
Oh my gosh, what is this website, dude?
it's australiaday.com .au.
I may have to sue them. This is ridiculous.
Do you guys use the term mad as a cut snake?
Oh my gosh, this website. Holy crap, dude. Where did this come from? Someone just made these up.
Yeah, this seems like a pretty official Australian website too. I'm surprised. It's like owned by the it's literally owned by the government.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. I've never heard any of these in my life. I'm waiting to get one that I actually know.
What about Shelby Apples?
What the... No.
Apparently it means everything will be all right.
Shelby Apples. We say she'll be right. She'll be right. That means.
Do you guys use the term scrub-headed turkey?
We don't have turkey. Like, turkey's not a thing. Like, we don't have, like, you have, like, turkey for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that. That's just not really a thing here.
Wow, so this is all nonsense.
No, Thanksgiving. You have turkey for Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I had a chance. But yeah, turkey's just not really a thing. So no, I don't really know. I don't know, even know where that comes from. So, can you send me the website?
Yeah, hold on. I'll put it in the I'll link this in the show notes, but I'll put it in the chat. Apparently all of this slang is just wrong. All right, there it is in the chat.
Okay, australiaday.com.au. Oh my gosh, it is actually New South Wales government. What the hell?
So they're just making all... Is this like just to spread like so discord and misinformation or something?
Oh my gosh.
It's just a prank on anyone who visits.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so there's probably like hundreds and hundreds of these, it looks like, just the amount of people.
Do you guys use the term budgie smugglers?
I feel like I may have heard that one.
Okay.
Bush bashing.
Yes, we
did
use that.
Oh, there we go. Finally one that's real.
Yeah, we know bush bashing. I did bush bashing. We did a camp.
And what does it mean?
We're like, whatever you're bush bashing, it means you're like going through the unscrupulous bush, and you have to hack your way through and tread down at the same time.
Okay,
so it's like are you in a vehicle or is it?
No, just by foot.
You're like on a safari on foot where you have to use like a machete.
Something like that. Not machete, but it's like you have to use some sort of a stick or a pole or something.
What about the term fair dinkum?
I've it's apparently a thing people say, but I've never heard it like said in normal conversation. It's just like, I know there's a guy, the Australians will know who I'm talking about when I say Clive Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a politician that he's a millionaire politician. He's kind of a joke.
Yeah, he's a clown.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
Wow.
A couple of different podcasts I listen to have talked about him.
Talked about Clive Palmer. Well, there you go. Clive Palmer. His campaign line was "It's fair dinkum." That was his campaign line. I don't actually know anyone that's used that like in normal conversation. But Clive Palmer. He's like a millionaire politician. Well, I think seemed to be bankrupt. Millionaire politician. Mm. He's had a number of different ventures that have not worked out very well for him. So he decided to go to politics, and that also didn't work. He spent like I think $100 million. No, it was like. How much did he spend? There was Clive Palmer. Someone like photoshopped an IKEA ad for Clive Palmer. $60 million. Can I link this in the recording notes? There you go. There's the meme. Geez, Clive, $60 million and not a single seat should have come to IKEA.
he lost $60 million.
He spent $60 million on advertisers, and he didn't. He didn't win a single seat in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sucks.
Okay, I got one last one here. And this is a term called like a bucket of prawns in the sun.
No.
Okay.
I've had that in my life.
Apparently that means smelly. So this website is just like 90% lies and like 10% kind of.
Look, I think they have such a like a large amount of slang that they kind of just like list anything that anyone has ever said and just say it's like slang that we use.
I get the impression that somebody came up to like a 100-year-old librarian and was like, we're doing the slang. What kind of slang should we put on there?
put on these terms.
It could be that.
Like 100 years
honestly,
ago.
They say look up slang phrases you'll only hear in Australia. So, I mean, it's kind of true. Maybe like a few people say these, but I don't know if anyone in like normal conversations saying them.
I heard from an actual Australian, by the way, once. That apparently one of your trends, though, like in actuality, is to really shorten a word and then add e to the end of it. Like breakfast becomes brecky, and mosquito comes becomes mozzie.
Mozzie. Yes. This is the thing we do. We shorten everything anytime we can. We shorten McDonald's becomes Macca's,
which makes no sense at all. That's such a weird one.
Don't you call it Mickey D's?
Sometimes, like as a joke, sometimes. Yeah, that is a thing, though.
It's one of them. It's one of their slang.
It's just one of those really simple words that's like we don't really feel the need to shorten in most cases. Well,
sometimes people will call it Mickey D's genuinely, but then I feel like most of the time when people say Mickey D's, they're making fun of people who call it Mickey D's.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, you guys want to go to Mickey D's? And it's like you're making fun of people who actually say it for real.
Yeah.
We are a lazy country. in terms of the language, we want to shorten everything anytime we can. Like afternoon becomes Arvo.
Wow.
Arvo, dude. I mean, that one's a good one. That one makes
sense.
That's
only like 9 letters.
It's a terrible word. No, it's a terrible word. It takes so long to say. Afternoon, yeah. Arvo, dude. Come on. It works so much better. There's a lot of words we shorten, but that's just sort
what
of...
about Bondi Tram?
Bondi Tram?
What apparently means
mean? What the hell is that?
He shot through like a Bondi Tram.
What?
That's the example it gives. Apparently it means like he moved quickly.
Okay.
What about a boof head?
Okay. Boof head.
A boof head.
I feel like I've heard that before, but I don't know what it means.
The meaning it gives is a bit of a thicko.
Yeah, I feel like...
I don't know what thicko means.
What is a thicko?
I don't know.
Just a dumb... I think it's a person that's dumb.
I've
heard that
like
one.
Thick-skulled?
I don't know. I don't use it. I think I've heard other people use that, though. Not a lot, okay. But I've heard it.
All right.
Somebody in the chat says that they use it. Thicko
or
boof head?
So some people do.
Okay.
All right. We have Jack in the Box here. You guys don't have Jack in the Box, right? The restaurant?
No.
But... Sometimes we'll call it Jack in the Crack.
Jack in the Crack.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, it's kind of a cracky place. I don't know. It's hard to describe if you don't know what it is. Yeah.
It's not very good.
What is Jack in the Box like an Asian restaurant, right?
No, Jack in the Box is like American food, like
yeah,
hamburgers.
It's like
is it?
It's like in the crack because like it might as well have come out of your ass. Like, it's just,
gosh, I'm completely. I thought Jack in the Box was Asian. What am I thinking of then?
Or we'll call
something.
We have Taco Bell, but we'll call it Taco Smell.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So it'll,
it's
like,
pretty
we usually
low
make
level
fun
criticism.
Of,
yeah.
We have nicknames to make fun of places a lot of the time.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Taco Smell, Jack in the Crack.
Yeah. I think we're kind of getting to that point, by the way. And I mean that in two different ways. One of them is I think we're getting to that point where we should probably start to wrap things up. And number two, I think we should talk about our sponsor, Joe.
Oh, sure.
Joe, why don't you go ahead and lead us in?
Diet Pepsi is not just kidding. So, excuse me. Hold on. Excuse me.
You're excused.
I had to have to lubricate my throat.
All right.
The nice, refreshing taste of audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
That's right.
Audible, you know, they've got a proposition for you. If you like to read, but you don't know how, get an audiobook. Do you wish you were literate, but you're just not? Audiobooks.
Okay.
Want to read, but don't have the time? Audiobooks.
Yeah, that's really the main the main reason to get them. Because, like, who really has time for physical books these days? I know I don't.
Not me. I don't have room for them. I don't have the emotional capacity to force myself to learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Take it away, Lars.
Guys, Audible wants to give you a free book on our behalf. It's free. Like, it costs you nothing. You sign up for the trial. If you want to quit within 30 days, you can, and they don't charge you anything. You just keep
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
That's right. But if you like the service, they start at very affordable monthly rates. But, you know, worry about that later. Just go ahead and get a book on our behalf. Tell them the first podcast sent you. audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. John, do you have any like big exciting things coming up on the pipeline?
I've got, well, the next video is about Deji, Comedy Shorts Gamer.
Yeah.
And some of the recent controversy he's gone into. That's going to be a very interesting saga. I'm looking forward to that one. That one's going to be good. But other than that, just tracking along as normal.
Does he still do that thing where he's like, "Hey guys!"
Oh, yep, he still does it. That was a really good impression, by the way. I thought it was actually him.
Thanks.
Yeah. Holy crap. What? Actually, he's here. No, he's not.
No.
Oh, my God.
I guess I just did a really good job right off rip.
That was a very good impression. That actually sounded like him. Yeah, he still does that. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
He does.
Well.
Do you have a favorite YouTuber?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite YouTuber. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a difficult one, dude. YouTuber. There's so many of them. It's very difficult to pick one.
Are there? I thought there were like four of them. Mm-hmm. I thought there were like four YouTubers.
Yeah, and they're all John's one. No, How about this? Just like off the top of your head, who's just like slapping right now?
Look, Nicholas Yorah is doing some good stuff recently. I know Jay Aubrey's always doing well for himself.
We just had him on.
Yes. He makes great stuff. Mm-hmm. Cordwit is a small creator that I'm helping out recently. I think he's got some really good potential, so I'm always helping out Cordwit.
Yeah, your stuff and Jay Aubrey's stuff is very similar, now that you mention it.
Yeah, we do share a lot of similarities in terms of the editing style and the presentation. We cover a little bit of different things, but he's fantastic. Cordwit is the person that as well. And then, you know, just the OGs, I suppose. Justin Wang's always going along with his stuff. Turkey Tom, internet historian.
Justin's stuff keeps popping up in ads for his new in my YouTube ads for his new his new seminar or something like that.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know that was a thing.
He has like a an educational course or something on how to make songs.
I don't know. Oh my gosh, you see Steve. Okay, whatever. We're not gonna go there.
All right. By the way, speaking of Cordway, I saw something about how you had like endorsed him. I went to check out his stuff. It looks promising. Like, I just haven't had time to consume it, but
yeah, he's very good. I promoted him on my channel. I've done it a few times. I think he's got a lot of potential. I was just like, I got to get you to 5K, surely.
Yeah.
He had a 2.5K before I got in there, so we nearly doubled his sub count. It's getting there.
He's fantastic. Bump. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's a really nice guy, and he makes some great content, and I think he's got a lot of potential, so I'm really excited to see where he goes.
And just kind of like off-rip in the same way, who is like anti-slapping at the moment?
You don't want to like talk shit on anybody, you obviously don't have to like...
Yeah, I mean, I can probably talk shit on people that don't even know me. That's probably fine.
If they're way bigger than you, yeah, it's fair game, I think.
Yeah, go ahead and punch up. Yeah.
Exactly. Gotta punch up, exactly. Who's not slapping right now?
PewDiePie? Yeah, don't shit on someone who's like, PewDiePie's always 1,000 subs.
He's always gone.
Mr.
He's
Beast?
Kind of just in the background. Mr. Beast is an interesting one. He's been like a very interesting figure because he's had some little controversies that not a lot of people know about.
Really?
But anyway, well, maybe that's a video for another day.
Huh.
But, I wouldn't say he's anti slapping. I don't know, dude. There's not that many people that I really really dislike. Maybe it's like maybe like Keemstar because he's been blocked on Twitter. So I'm allowed to say that. Yeah, he was very funny on a live stream recently. He called me a horrible human, and he said that I have an annoying voice and that I steal content.
That's funny. That's cool that he said that about you, though.
I mean, yeah, at least he acknowledged me, but, you know, that was funny. Like, none of the chat even agreed with him at all, so that was the even funnier bit about that.
I think it's kind of the opposite situation with Keemstar, and by that I mean, like, usually what he says, it's kind of like, in a lot of cases, the opposite is true. Like, where?
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's not extremely credible. Let's be honest. Yeah, he also said, "I don't do research." That's another thing he said. That was very funny. From the guy that's messed up like countless stories. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously a few people, but whose content I would never consume. But you know,
all right.
What about Shay Carl?
Shay Carl, bloody hell, dude. You know, you actually brought up a video topic that I actually thought maybe I could revisit the story of Shay Carl, because that is such an interesting story. How he completely fell off, dude.
Yeah, he stopped. He stopped making content, right? Or is he still going?
No, stopped like 8 months ago. I think it was the last upload, yeah.
Oh, I actually have a question, by the way, because I was just thinking, you know, Shay Carl has been covered by other commentary YouTubers. And my question is, and this is kind of vague, but do you think that commentary as a genre is at a point of saturation or oversaturation? And is there room for new players? And just kind of what are your thoughts on that?
This is actually a very good question. I like this question a lot.
Thank you.
It's a very good question. I can speak to this personally. There's a whole other genre of commentary channels that people don't know about. It's the small commentary channels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The small commentary channels generally do videos about each other. So small commentary channel will do a video about another small commentary channel.
Oh.
Interesting, and it's an interesting thing. But yeah, there is definitely a bit of oversaturation in the comedy genre. Now, I am of the opinion that you can always get into a genre if you set yourself apart enough. So what is it that you do that other people, you know, that you're better at than other people, than the majority?
Not knowing how to read, for me.
Well, there you go. There's your first step, you know?
Uh-huh.
Is it, you know, for example, though, is it your editing? Is it your presentation? Maybe you've got, if you've got an accent, I think it immediately puts you up already because you're already different to like most of the people. So I have like the advantage there, I think. A lot of people, they don't even like think about it, but I think like the accent sets you apart. So that's already another thing.
So you're saying to fake an accent, basically.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you got to do what you got to do. Like, that's just the way it works. I think that's kind of... That's kind of an interesting thing. It definitely is a lot of oversaturation. People make topics on the same things, but you just got to know how to make your videos apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to make sure you can set yourself apart from the rest of them. But I think it's 100% doable to get into any genre if you do that.
I have an idea for a commentary channel. I would model it after yours, John, and I would call myself John Swan and just re-upload your videos. How do you feel about that? Do I have your blessing?
Okay, re-uploading content is an interesting thing.
So that's a yes. I have your permission.
You're being very polite here.
I'm just kidding. Obviously,
this is actually an interesting topic because I've come under fire a while back for defending one of my friends uploading archives to his channel. Mm. And I've come under fire for defending his archiving. Archiving either deleted videos or hard to find videos or clipping up like long podcasts into like sections that are easy to digest. You know, that sort of thing, which I think is perfectly fine. On the grand scheme of things.
Let me jump in. Sorry, real quick. Are you saying his podcasts?
No, other people's podcasts.
Ooh, I may have to disagree with you there. We don't have to get into it, but
I would disagree because it's not, because like he's taking views away from them.
Yeah, I don't know. Because is that really archiving if it's still like a podcast someone's doing? I don't know.
This is my opinion.
Yeah, we don't have to agree here, but.
Yeah, one of the things that he's done recently is like, I don't know if you know about the, what's it called? I just had it on my Adam 22's podcast. I don't know the name of it, but he's got a live show that he does, you know, a few times. I think it's once a week or twice a week or something. And No Jumper, that's the one. Thank you, chat. So he has that podcast, and there was a section there of Nerd City talking about what he thinks about deplatforming and harassment policies and stuff. And he clipped that up. It's like a six-minute bit, and he put it up on his channel. And I think that sort of thing is fine, personally. If it is a clip in relation to an ongoing drama, for example, and it makes it easy for people to find, and it's not monetized, I don't really think that there's that much of an issue with it terms of clipping up. I don't mind if people clip up my videos or my streams and use them. Like, I'm perfectly fine. I don't care. You can be free to disagree, of course. I've always said, like, if people want to strike the archives, that's perfectly fine. But I think archives is something I've come under fire for defending. But I think it's very different to uploading a full video that's already up and available. Let me
give kind of like a quick hot take on that. I think that, like, if someone with 10 subscribers were to upload like a very specific clip from our podcast that was like culturally relevant or something, I might not have so much of a problem with that. But like, if Pyrocynical like uploaded like a big clip of my show, I might be a little bit more upset because I feel like he's like taking a lot of views away for himself at that point. I don't know. Like,
well, if Pyrocynical did do that, is if he gave us credit, then that's one thing. But if he
prefaced the video in the beginning, he was like, "By the way, guys," I can't do his voice, but like, "By the way, guys, hey guys, this is another podcast. Go watch it." That would be one thing. Like, is that being done? Is it like fully sourced and?
Okay, like, so here's what it is. So it's a third channel. It's a tiny channel. It's like got 2K subs or something.
Oh, okay.
So the videos don't exactly get a lot of views. They're mainly just for like if people want to show them in streams or something, like if people like are doing a live stream and they're looking for a clip, oh, it's over on this guy's channel, just get bring up the clip and then you can show it, like that kind of thing. So for example, if the first podcast was doing the interview with John Swan and they wanted to know what John Swan thought about uploading archives, he could clip the bit of me talking about archives, and then you know people could understand, oh, this is what John Swan's take is on archives. Very epic.
I think that's okay. I think that's okay.
Well, how clear is he making it that, like, oh, this is another show. I don't own this show.
Well, dude, it's 100% credited in the description. Okay. Like, that's okay. Not... I think in the title he says it as well. Like, it's very clear. This stuff is clearly... archive, and he doesn't do it when it's like very easy to find. He does it, like, on things you would know where to look for it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I... have agreements and disagreements with you on that, and that's fine. I feel like you might feel a little differently if you did a podcast, because, like, I don't know, like a lot of
even like 1,000 views or whatever is like, it's considered a lot of podcast views, but it's not really a lot of YouTube views, and so I don't know, but like that's fine, we could move on.
Yeah, anyway, what were we talking about before this?
Australian slang. And then we were talking about, have you traveled a lot, like on vacation?
Like a few years ago, I used to do a lot of traveling with family and stuff. Now, obviously, it's a bit restrictive because of the coronavirus. But we used to do a lot of traveling. Yeah, we did.
Is there a favorite place that you've been to, that you've traveled to?
Oh, dude. It's been a favorite place. I went to the UK. I really liked that. I think the UK was good. That's probably my favorite so far.
Cool. That's cool. I don't know. I didn't really have any follow up questions. I just like to ask people about like where they've been. Like, what cities did you go to in the UK?
I just went to London. We were only there for a few days, but I think that was probably the best place that I've gone so far. I'm a bit of a freak when it comes to organization and stuff, and London is just so nice and like organized and well set out, and everything just kind of like works. It's very good. I'm a big fan of that.
When you travel, do you like to plan out what you're going to do each day, or do you like to have periods of time that are unplanned, or both?
No, I like to plan everything. Everything has to be planned, otherwise I go insane. Like I plan out my days. Like when I have a day that I do stuff in, like I plan that out. If I'm going, if I'm going to travel, I plan everything out to ensure that there are no mishaps anywhere. There is no possible mishaps that could occur. Because as soon as mishaps occur, that's when, you know, all sorts of things, all sorts of bad things happen. I don't like deviating off from a course. It's not epic. So I try and plan out everything as well as I can to avoid any mishaps. So that's what I do.
I feel kind of similarly. I have this philosophy where I like to make a plan when I'm traveling, but I'm also very open to deviating if anything just sounds fun to go do. So, like, I'll just... like, the trips that I've taken over the years, like, they start very organized, and then, like, oh, this looks cool, I'm going to go do this. And I feel like, I don't know, having that openness has helped me.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle. I've become less planned out as the years go by. Like, it used to be, I want to know what I'm doing each day, and, like, I'll buy the, you know, tickets that I need and stuff. But then it's turned into more of like, I'll just have like a note document in my phone of the things I want to do while I'm in each country. But I'll still have, obviously, like the hostels reserved ahead of time and the plane tickets that I need and the train tickets. But actually, I think next time I travel, let's say I go to Europe or somewhere, I would want to just, here's my plan. I want to just set aside the day that I arrive and the day that I leave, and like a few nights of a hostel when I first get there, but don't plan anything else, and just see where I end up.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of experience that as well, because the train tickets are pretty cheap and the planes are pretty cheap and the hostels, that it doesn't really cost that much even day of, and like I might end up spending a little more, but at least I'll get to spend an extra day in Amsterdam if I want to. Or maybe I'm done with Dublin after only 3 days. I can just leave. I don't have to spend the extra 2 days because I already have the plane ticket. And like,
yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of the Breath of the Wild philosophy. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. And then if that doesn't work out, like I'll change it up for the time after, you know, all about adapting.
I miss traveling.
Yeah, same, dude. I don't want to travel.
Yeah.
What can we do? I don't think borders are going to open up here till 2022.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, I don't think they're going to let Americans go anywhere for a while, so we're kind of screwed.
2028 or something.
Yeah. They're like, okay.
Yeah. Unless it's a vaccine, I think we're not going to see any sort of big time traveling happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
Are you guys all anti-vax there like we are here and not myself not included?
Yeah, please. Like, no. I want to distance myself, but yeah.
No, we're not a thing. That's not really a thing.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Oh, yeah. No. There was an anti-vax protest in Melbourne once.
Mm.
Lewis Spears did a great clip. He went over to the anti-vax protest, and he asked if anyone was a doctor.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fantastic clip. So they do exist, but it's not a big movement or anything. No, it's not, okay. not really.
I feel like there's like a big anti-vax movement here of. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's not massive here. It's like when you've got that many people, like there's bound to be a few idiots, right? So I mean that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
But no, it's not really.
What about flat earthers?
No, I've it's not a thing. It's not a thing here.
Well, you're so lucky.
they think Australia doesn't exist, right?
But I don't think anyone really thinks that.
I wish they did. That'd be funny. Dude, we're paid actors, paid by NASA. Actually, we definitely. Sorry, what? No, we're
I've
not
heard
paid
of it.
Actors.
Of I've heard of that.
I feel like. The things like flat earth and stuff, it's so fun to just say that you are because it's so stupid that I think a lot more people do it than they would if it wasn't just such a silly fun thing to do. Like I'm guessing like 99% of people who claim that they're flat earthers are just memeing.
I don't maybe, think it's 90%. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if it's 90, you know,
it's probably
half.
Some people might do that. It's still dangerous though, because you're normalizing it.
Well,
it's like saying you're anti-Semitic because it's fun to just say, but then you're normalizing other people that are going to say it.
Well, let me put it this way: when you say that you're anti-Semitic, you know, 6 million Jews die. When you say that the Earth is flat, you just get laughed at. Like it's those two things are not on the same level at all. Like it's, I don't know. I think there's something fun about the flat Earth theory. It's just, it's so goofy. It's so bizarre.
There was a video by Logan Paul. It was one of the very few Logan Paul videos I watched. And I was like, this is really good. He made a documentary on flat earth.
Oh, yeah.
He fooled the entire internet into thinking he was a flat earther. And then he just came out at the end. It was just like a massive joke. He like fooled the entire internet. I think he was like speaking at the flat earth conference. So like at the end of the video, like putting all the clips and all the YouTubers talking about it. And he just fooled the entire internet. Dude.
Yeah. He spoke at
fantastic.
A conference?
He spoke at a flat earth conference, but it was a massive joke. It was the big, look up the Logan Paul flat earth documentary.
It is
fantastic. It's like 50 minutes, but it's like really good production value and stuff. Like it's actually insane. Probably one of the few Logan Paul videos I've watched and enjoyed. It's actually that was a fantastic video. Mm. He finessed the entire world.
Is it on YouTube?
Yep.
All right.
That is hilarious. All right.
Well, something to look for next time. I think we should probably wrap things up. I like how we said we should wrap things up and then.
Yeah, we kept on going.
Yeah, but I mean. Oh, I found it. To the Edge and Back.
Yep, that's the one.
Who would have thought? Logan Paul, master troll.
So, if you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, check out John Swan's
channel. There you go.
On YouTube. Any
epic.
Twitter URL or anything?
John Swan YT pretty much everywhere. If I've got a platform, search up John Swan YT and you found it. If you can't find it, then I don't have that platform.
Right.
There you go.
By the way, we do have a merch store at merch.tomandpodcast.com. And guys, if you've been tuning in for a while and you want to hear the weird stuff, you want to hear the experimental stuff, the off-kilter goofy episodes that we like to do on our Patreon, the bonus episodes of the podcast, if you will, you can check out patreon.com/T1podcast. It gets you the bonus episodes. It gets you early listening privileges. It gets you a funny role in the Discord. It gets you a patron-only chat and more. That's patreon.com/T1podcast. John, you've been a delight. Thank you very much for coming on. This has been really pleasant.
Thanks for coming on.
Not a problem at all.
Yeah.
If you want to check out my stuff, I'm on TikTok as Disney Joey and Joey Cooks, and I also host the Spaghetto Podcast, which is on YouTube and other platforms. You want to close out the episode, John?
Yeah, sure. Thank you all for listening to the first podcast. I had a fantastic time here with Lars and Joe. We had some great times. Thank you all for listening. And the first podcast, we'll catch you next time.
All right.
Side note, I like how in the beginning you were really doubtful about your ability to remember the names Lars and Joe. You're like, I'm never going to remember that. That's way too much information.
I've been looking at the Discord the whole time.
So okay.
All right. There was a bird outside my apartment just now that sounded like a human impression of a bird squawk. It was just like, wah! That's what it sounded like.
Okay.
I'm concerned. I don't know. Like, is everything okay? I don't know.
Well, I mean, if we've established on previous episodes, I don't really think birds are real. So that might have been like...
Oh, like it's short-circuiting?
Or like someone half-assing a cry. Like they have to record it because they have to like maintain the illusion that the bird is real.
Oh, it could be. John, how do you weigh in on this? Do you think that birds are real?
You see, this kind of puts me in a weird position because my name is literally John Swan.
Yeah, he's a right. bird.
So it's kind of weird for me to say like birds don't exist when I'm clearly a bird and I do exist.
Right.
So I think this is kind of a weird one. I'm not sure if we can... This is something we have to discuss.
No, we don't have to discuss.
You could just say something like, birds aren't real, but I am. And then you cover your bases.
Well,
he's excluding himself at that point because he's a bird.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's difficult. This is a difficult thing. I'm just going to go no comment and then okay.
redacted.
And then we'll leave it at that. Redacted, private, sensitive information. Cannot comment okay. at this time.
The chat is commenting on whether or not Australia is real. Do you have any comments on that? Can you weigh in on that with an opinion?
Unfortunately, I cannot comment on the validity or illegitimacy of that statement. I am not bound by anything, but I cannot give any statements at this time. Unfortunately,
there's not specifically an NDA saying you must not reveal Australia's
I don't know about you. No, there's no NDA. No, absolutely. I don't know what you're talking about.
But if there was.
If there was, I would be in violation of talking about it, but there isn't, so it doesn't matter.
But you can't...
No, I can't comment. I can't comment at this time. I'm sorry, guys.
All right.
Sorry, chat.
I cannot comment.
Okay. Well, why don't we move on ahead then, and we should start the show.
Yeah.